Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and tonight we are talking waiver wire pickups, a review of round 15, and we have a special interview with you. Our first player interview, actually, for the one and only, the GOAT of Melbourne, Mr. Cam Pedersen. He's on the show tonight. We got him on, so that's going to be in between our waiver wire pickups and the review of the rounds, what's happened. So check that out. It's going to be great to help us do that, as always. Stevie Fizz, how you doing, pal?
I'm struggling, Jono. I've got to be honest. I've taken something on that I shouldn't have, and here it is. It's day two of dry July.
Stage show. Ooh, yeah. See, Mrs. Crockett asked me that, and I said, get stuffed, because I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, sometimes you think you're a bit better than you are, and when you've had a few drinks, someone maybe suggests that you should not have many drinks for a month, and, you know, you're drunk, so you just go, yeah, I can do that, and yep, so here we are. I'm stuck, and it's day two, and struggling, let's be honest. See my hand shaking a little bit there? That's how it is.
I have done dry July, but that was only due to the fact that I had a surgery, was not allowed to drink for 2 weeks, so it was automatically cut in half because I was on medication and couldn't drink anyway, so it was fine.
Well, that's just cheating, Jono, and, you know, is it the... We had a league catch-up on Saturday, and everyone else was having bourbons and pizzas and getting stuck into a few beers, and I was just stuck there with my hood over my head.
Raspberry lemonade, Coca-Cola. What was your drink of choice?
Just nothing.
Wow.
I was drinking the salty tears. I was crying. And
salty tears. That's not good, mate. You should keep hydrated. Maybe a glass of water.
Yeah, I know. Just tears is fine.
And speaking of salty tears, it is not Statesman who are going to be crying him this week, as he is one up over his arch nemesis. We got Big Cox. He's happy as Larry. Welcome to you, Statesman.
Yeah, that's what happens when you pick 38-year-old forwards in your team, eh, Big Cox? But no, I've had a very good weekend. Although I will say, hashtag off-brand, there was a period there where I was in top 10 for both Real Dream Team and AFL Fantasy. But the fantasy gods are going to pay me back, because it looks potentially that I've got five players in my defensive line that won't be available this week. So that might be a little bit hard to manage. Damn the MRP and a few injuries. But also a great couple of wins in my league teams, both in the keeper and staying a couple of games on top in the listener league as well. But isn't it great to finally, there's been a lot of pain to get here. A lot of pain. Now, if you remember, Jono, there was a nice little trade that we done where I gave you a 100 averaging defender who somehow now is
130 averaging now.
Yeah. I didn't know that at the time. And also a little sort of fella who might get cut called Jared Lyons. All to get the man himself, Lachie Neale. Now, finally, Lachie with the big C has gone over 110 as my captain this week. So finally, a bit of payback, even though it cost me 230 points this week to get his 117. It all just feels a little bit worthwhile.
110, gee, Sam Doherty's been doing that by quarter time each week, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Long game, keeper league.
Yes, and he's very young too, Sam Doherty, I believe. He's younger than Lachie Neale as well.
Yeah, it's good. He'll get the tag.
Maybe.
He'll get the tag.
But a bit of news coming out over the weekend. We saw on Friday night, Tommy Bugged thought he was up in Suncorp Stadium and got in a bit early and knocked out Callum Mills with that cheap shot to the jaw. So hopefully Callum Mills gets up for next week. If it's anything like Joel Selwood, he's not playing next week, and I'm a Callum Mills owner, so it wasn't good to see. Jack Viney in the same game came off with looked like a plantar fasciitis sort of injury, so maybe he can talk to Robert Harvey and jump off the kitchen table to get up for next week. Wellingham has been pretty serviceable when he's been playing this year. Went off with a corky against the Bulldogs and struggled to get back on in that second half. So wait and see for Sharad Wellingham there. Jared Waite also did a calf injury. big surprise there. A bit of an old man injury after booting four goals for the Roos against the Gold Coast. And Ryan Burton, probably going to be a NAB Rising Star winner this year, went off late in that fourth quarter with an ankle/Achilles injury. So hopefully it's just a roll the ankle and might miss 1 week on that one. But coming out of that game as well, Taylor Adams wasn't having the best of days. I think he had about 400 clangers till about half time. But he also had a high hit on Luke Bruce. So he's off to the match review panel, you would think, and maybe get a week or two there. But Melbourne. No, Stacey doesn't like that, but that's the way it goes these days. But how's this for the Casey Scorpions? You've got blokes like Jay Kennedy Harris, Ben Kent, Dean Kent, and Jake Spencer all in line for a recall against the Swans Friday night, but they'd been on the Terps the night before, or the week before, in a big binge drinking session, and old Goody's come down and said, no, you're not getting selected this week, so maybe cost them a win and a chance at top four there for the Demons. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals, Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickups dropping each week. And check out the Facebook page. Just search The Draft Doctors in Facebook there. But we are talking waiver wire pickups, and to kick us off this week is Steve. And when we do talk about the waiver wires, we have our 65% rule, just so everyone off Ultimate Footy, just so everyone has a chance to pick up these players. Fire away, Steve.
Yeah, I've actually got a lot of waiver pickups this week. There's some really good options, I think. Obviously, later in the year, people are injured and other guys have to step up. How about the first one? Ryan Bastanac, only owned in 50% of leagues, midfielder for Brisbane. Came out with a really nice score for anyone who owns him today. But I think with the midfield outs, he's pretty handy until Beams gets back at the very least.
Oh, yeah.
Also, yeah, Sean Darcy, 29% owned. Ruckman, Sandy's down. He looks the goods, man. He's put a nice score up today. So I certainly like a bit of Sean Darcy. If you need a ruckman, maybe you can trade your other one or something like that. I don't know. But he's certainly an asset. Also, Reece Matheson, 55% owned midfielder for the Brisbane Lions. Put out some 70 scores today. So certainly whilst Beams is out, Rocky's injured, well, playing hurt, we would assume. These guys are certainly going to be in line to step up. Also, maybe more for your super coaches, but 21% ownership, forward, he's listed as a forward, but playing as a defender, Liam Jones. Quite hard to believe he's having the season. He turned it around, but he is. I certainly jump on it. Certainly like him for Supercoach. And
yeah.
Yeah, so Liam's certainly an interesting pick.
Exactly right.
Also, who else have I got?
How the hell is he still available?
Yeah, grab him. Luke Bruce. Wow. Luke Bruce, 65% ownership. You know, he's forward. He turned up today. Probably a matchup play. We know he's had a pretty lean season, but there's certainly some good matchups out there for him. Harry Taylor. This is his defender forward. Only in 41% of leagues he's owned. He's played back in. He's moved back into defence, and when he's back in defence, he's certainly able to pick off all those marks and get a lot of kicks, and he can average around 80 in both formats. So Harry Taylor's not a bad option if that's his role going forward. And I've just got a couple other guys. I might not waiver for him specifically, but I certainly think they're interesting, and I will be keeping an eye on them as maybe a late pickup as and his teams are named. Sam Kerridge, midfielder for Carlton. We saw with Ed Curno missing, he was the preferred tagging option on Sloan. Did a nice job, scored himself tons in both formats, only owning 22% of leagues. Certainly like Sam Kerridge. Anthony Miles for Richmond, only owning 29% of leagues, midfielder, has been absolutely braining him in the seconds, and let's face it, Prestia's not exactly flying along, and he copped an injury to his finger at one point there as well, so we'll see what happens there. And the last two, Josh Thomas, only in 27% of teams, got his first crack at it today, obviously missed a lot of time. Started out really well, faded as the game went on. Midfielder forward, so you could certainly do worse than him. And Charlie Curnow, If I'm in any sort of rebuild keeper situation, which I'm not, going for a flag, no big deal. He's 17% listed as a forward, and he looks the goods.
Yeah, no, some good picks there. Sean Darcy is my number one pickup, especially as I've got Sand in our league of records, Steve, and he's going to be my top priority this week.
Yeah, wouldn't mind if you missed out on that. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I hope, and I use my, so I'll be down the bottom, so no chance of getting him.
Ah, that's a shame.
Statesman, who have you got for there for your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, obviously had Darcy, had Matheson, certainly a couple that I picked up as well, including Harry Taylor. But I want to add a couple of defenders here in Taylor Giray, who we all thought was going to have a breakout about 2 or 3 years ago, and nothing really happened. He started really poorly this year. He's had a long layoff. He's come back, and his form has been absolutely sensational. Would you believe it? Had a defensive forward role today, but also was kicking goals against Jeremy Howe. But what he has been doing since he's been back is scoring well. So he's averaging over 80 in his past 5 weeks, and that's the refreshed, enthusiastic player that's come back into the squad. He's only owned by 55%. If you've got a defender averaging 80, you're a pretty happy camper. So certainly magnificent backup, Taylor Giray. The next one, and probably more for a keeper, is Alex Witherden for Brisbane. So he's a first-year player and looks extremely classy. Nice 77 in his first week, and he's backed up with a 90 this week. So he's averaging 86.5 in his two games and owned by 45%. So a keeper, especially if you're rebuilding, get him in straight away. This boy looks very classy. A couple that I've mentioned over the last few weeks, and just they keep performing the same way. Nick Robertson for Brisbane, defender, averaging 85 over his last 5 weeks. Another 84 this week. He's owned by 60%, so if he's free, pick him up. And Geelong forward Jordan Murdoch, owned by 40%, averaging 75 over the last 5 rounds. I was talking about last week, his scores for the last 6 weeks now have been between 72 and 80. And guess what? This week just pumped out a nice 76. So that's a good little support for your mid-range or lower forwards. And we should be patting ourselves on the back for this one because we've been raising him for a few weeks. He's gone from owned by 23% of teams to over 80% now, and that's Kane Lambert, 146 this week, brought up here as a waiver wire option over the last 3 weeks. So certainly worthwhile for those that picked him up.
Yeah, no, great pick up there. I wish I had Kane Lambert myself. But, no, I did have Nick Robinson and in our keeper league, and I'm quite happy with him right there. But moving on to mine, I did have Sean Darcy and a few of those other theirs, but I've – waiver pickup you could actually use because Bucks is going to be sacked this week because he didn't play Ben Reed. He's at 64% people. Tyson Goldsack has gone down with an injury. So you'd think Ben Reed would come back in after doing completely nothing wrong. And Lyndon Dunn did bugger all, really. So also I had this is only if Josh Kennedy from West Coast doesn't get selected this week. It's Drew Petrie. I was watching him on the weekend. He went forward and also back, taking those intercept marks. So that's always points in your fantasy formats. He's scored over 110 in the last 2 weeks. I think 120 and 130. So some really good scores for Drew Petrie there. Oscar McDonald, been scoring quite nicely in both formats as well. Not someone who I'd use my waiver on, but if I was struggling for a defender, he's been taking about 10 marks the last couple of weeks, only owned in 20%, and Drew Petrie was 41%. And Bailey Dale, he's a mid-forward. If you need a bit of coverage, he's been scoring near the 70s and lower 80s. He's also in your 22% range, so probably someone you can pick up off your free agency. And that's it for me, gentlemen. But if you are liking the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you really like it, hit the subscribe button. It gets straight to your device every single week. So we really appreciate it. And also do leave us a review. It helps our brand, gets us up the ratings. But now we have the man, the myth, the legend. He is Cam Pedersen from the Melbourne Football Club. Started off on the fringe this year, but with injuries to Jake Spencer and Maxi Gawn, he has shot right up into fantasy contention, averaging over 90s, absolutely killing it. Was in the ruck, but now moving forward into the wing, doing whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, we were super lucky to get to catch up with Cam on Thursday night. So if some of the things he says don't ring true, it's because we spoke before the Sydney game. Unfortunately, he got the prediction wrong. But, man, I can't say enough good things. What a ripping bloke. Didn't have to do this at all, but we really thank him. I hope you guys out there get some enjoyment out of it. We certainly enjoyed talking to him.
So the Draft Doctors are incredibly, incredibly happy to welcome to the show the first ever footballer, actually, on our football podcast, Cam Pedersen from the Melbourne Demons. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. We're recording this Thursday night. Obviously, this will come out Monday. So what's your prediction for Friday's game?
I think it's going to be a high-tackling game, high pressure, and I reckon we'll win by about 3 goals, hopefully.
3 goals, that's not bad. That's, you take that, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
But your current form, man, we're a fantasy football podcast, and you've been one of the pickups of the year, I got to be honest. You know, with Max Gawn went down, Jesse obviously had his unfortunate situation, and you've come into the team and just playing career-best footy. That's got to be good, pleasing for you.
Yeah, it has been pleasing. The coaches have been really supportive and really honed in on what makes me play my best footy, and probably got me to a stage where I can do it consistently. Doing a good mark here and there, or doing something, once a match, kind of more continuous and always in the game now, which is obviously gives me more opportunity to find the ball and have more impact.
Yeah, was there anything that you changed your approach this season? Or I mean, looking at your stats, your tackles are up, your possessions are up, so...
things haven't changed too much. Obviously dropped a bit of weight because that was what they wanted me to be able to be a bit more mobile. So that's probably helped a fair bit. And other than that, it's really just, getting a clear picture in my head of what makes me play well. It's not so much, possessions is a byproduct of what you're doing when you don't have the ball. So I've obviously tried to really work hard on my defensive stuff to get me back into play to obviously win the ball back.
Oh, that's good, man, because more possessions equals more fantasy points. Do you yourself play any of the fantasy footy out there? Or
I used to. I was really big on, like, Supercoach and Dream Team back in the day, like around, early 2000, 2002 to 2006, I reckon, when I was at uni and at school, finishing year 12 and that. But then, lately I probably don't really have the time. I know a lot of boys do the bench and things like that. I know there's a lot of them, but... I tend to not really have enough time with three girls at home to be playing around because it's a bit addictive, so...
Hey, Matt, you're telling me, I'm sure you could talk to my missus and she'd 100% agree. There's too much time on this stuff. But, like we were saying, you're playing career-best footy, the thing is the guys are coming back. So what can we expect from you and your role going forward? Because you're blowing it out of the water, man. Like I think the sixth best forward by average in Supercoach this year. Like it's amazing.
Yeah, well, obviously if I keep doing the things that they want, I'll stay in the team. And when I stop doing those, we've got a lot of good players coming back in. So, I used to always really worry about that. Now where, I'd rather... If I got moved out of the team because, someone else deserves to play and they've been in good form and you get moved out that way, not because, I've had a poor game or a poor couple of games and kind of cost myself a spot. So I guess the club's in a good position now that we've got a lot of depth and, we have got Wiedemann in the VFL, got Jesse to come back in, what's he's at the moment. And, it's a lot of pressure on spots, which is good. And, Tom McDonald's come down forward when he normally plays down back. So I think it's a really good spot for the club to be in.
Yeah, obviously, my missus is a long-time Melbourne member, and I get a lot of stick at home about how well the D's are going. But it must be pleasing for you being a big part of that winning side.
Yeah, definitely. It's really exciting. Like, when I got there, 5 years ago, we only won 2 games, I think, in the first year, and then it was 4 the year after, and then 7, and then I think we won 10 last year. So obviously we're showing gradual improvement, but yeah, it's just great to be there, especially, you know, when you're around a club, when you win, it's a somewhat different environment than when you lose. So it's been great the last 8 or so weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I'm, you know, great for you, but unfortunately for me, you rolled my pies in the Queen's Birthday blockbuster. What's the feeling running out in front of one of those massive crowds? Do you ever get the feeling that, geez, I really miss playing down at Casey on a day like this?
Yeah, it's tough when you run out on the MCG and there's 70,000 or 71 of it was, or you can play out in Casey when it's a bit windy and a bit cold and about 10 people there. It's a hard one. Yeah, the excitement when you run out, you can't really explain it. And then when you actually start playing, like, you don't really pay attention. You wouldn't even know that there's people in the crowd. You're kind of just worrying about where you've got to go and what you've got to do. And it's quite surreal. You only really get the sense of the crowd when the game's really tight or someone kicks a goal is when you really hear everyone and actually pay attention.
So that's awesome, man. But obviously with the crib, you know, like the form you're showing, I mean, what's the future like for you, man?
I'm not too sure yet. I've had a 1 year deal the last 2 years, and I've signed that pretty late. Normally it's like late September or after trade week. So I'd assume it'd be the same this year if I'm lucky enough to get another contract. Obviously I'm not doing my chances any harm at the moment by playing good football, but you know, the club will do whatever they feel is best for them. And if it ends this year, then at least I'm going out and I'm playing good football. I haven't kind of limped over the line and played VFL all year. So, you know, if I get to go on, that's really exciting. But if I finish this year, then, you know, I'm really thankful for the chance Melbourne have given me, and I'll be I'm forever grateful.
Man, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of clubs out there who could use a big man who can set up goals the way you can. Certainly love it over at Collingwood. Do you have any superstitions?
I never wear my socks up. I don't know if that's a superstition, but I used to play a lot of basketball, and every time I wore my socks up high, my legs, I tend to get really hot and play bad basketball. So since I've been playing football, I always have my socks rolled down and never pull them up. That's probably the only superstition that I really have.
Well, that's all right. It's not too crazy. But one thing we've noticed, Melbourne are flying along this year. And Roosie's not there. Roosie's one of our favourites. Not so much for himself, but for the hair. Simon Goodwin has no hair game whatsoever. Is it good being out from under that shadow of Roosie's hair?
Yeah, he does have. He has got elite hair, and especially the way that waves back, it always looks on point. Yeah, they're a bit different. The two. Roosie was also really good at getting the club and getting it to where it needed to be with the professional standards and stuff like that, and taught us how to defend. And I think people probably got a little bit critical that we turned into a good defensive team and then we couldn't score. But I think this year, I think now people got watch the game and they're actually excited to watch Melbourne. It's not going to be a boring game where it's like, you know, 8 goals to 10 goals where, you know, we're constantly scoring over 100 and, you know, we're still defending well, but obviously being a bit more flair and a bit more exciting.
Oh, man, you got some great players and everyone loves watching. I mean, the Queen's Birthday game, both teams over 100. That's that's what the fans want. So, who would be your toughest opposition this year? Like, you know, we'd see Melbourne fighting for the top four. Who would be, if not for yourself, obviously, the team that's fighting for the cup?
Well, it depends. Every team, if you let them play the way they want to play, they're very good. Obviously, if you look at Adelaide, when they're up and about and you let them use the ball well, they're very hard to beat. If you can close down their space, tackle a lot, then, you know, each team you can find different ways and get an advantage. Probably the hardest team, probably GWS when they're on song. I think people are forgetting that they're on top, but they've only got 28 to pick from, so they've still got about another 10 blokes that could play probably in their best team. So, yeah, probably GWS, probably the yardstick at the moment, League.
Would that be the hardest trip in footy? Because you've just gone over, knocked over West Coast in Perth. I always would imagine that'd be the toughest one, but...
Yeah, definitely. Perth, any Perth team over there is definitely the hardest because you know, around a stadium only fits 40,000. They normally only give about 500 tickets to the away team. So, and they're pretty vocal, and obviously the time, the travel, and the 2-hour time difference, and you've got to go there for 3 or 4 days. And yeah, it's probably definitely the hardest trip. Would be definitely that Perth one, and I think it showed that, you know, we didn't play our best football last week, but just found a way to win at the end. And you know, it's 3 point, you know, we could have quite easily lost that as well. So it was probably, yeah, one of the toughest games we've had this year.
Well, good teams find a way, mate.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, enough of the footy, man. We've got some big issues on the podcast, and we need your take on them. Tomato sauce, fridge or pantry?
Cool. Fridge.
Yes. Take that, Jono. On the nachos, mince or guacamole?
Guacamole.
This is going well, Cam. You're my boy. You're in my team actually, so that's good. You're already my guy. All right, pie versus cake.
I'd have to say cake because I haven't eaten a pie in a long time, so I'm probably a cake person.
This is going fantastically. I feel like we're kindred spirits or something. I mean, if Melbourne can win the flag and I can win my fantasy league, this is all good things, man. I just want to say thank you for your time, man. It's been fantastic. Obviously, best of luck with the rest of the season. I hope you continue your fantastic form because, you know, love seeing the D's play well.
Yep, definitely. Awesome. Too easy. Thanks for your time. And, yeah, keep the podcast going up and all the stuff on Twitter. It's quite interesting to read, actually.
Did you see the poll where everyone thought you should have been in the Hall of Fame over Nicky Winmar?
No, I didn't read that, but that would make me laugh, yes.
You're a fan favourite, I'll put it that way.
Oh, that's good. It's good to have a bit of support outside the four walls of your own home, which is nice.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cam.
Too easy. All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, man.
Well, there you have it, guys. What a top bloke. Like, took it all in good fun. Absolutely really appreciate him coming on the show and giving us his valuable time. Obviously, things didn't go the right way for him on Friday night, but really rooting for you. For Cam and the Demons for the rest of the season. But Jono, that had to sting, buddy. On the sauce, the fridge, and guacamole. Mrs. Fizz obviously went down with the pie situation, but Cam just took your hopes and dreams with you.
Yeah, well, I was following Cam Pedersen on Twitter. I was a fan of him, but now he can get stuffed. He's unfollowed. I'm going to put the hate tweets out on him. It's all over for him. Sorry.
I reckon my salt's rubbing off on you blokes.
Yeah, we used to love life before you came. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, but you have been the main advocate for Cam Pedersen, so it's good that he's answered all your way, Steve, because I reckon you would have been pretty filthy if he went my way.
Oh, if he went your way, he would have been dropped back to the waiver wire, but, you know, what a legendary bloke. Didn't have to do it. Really appreciate it. I hope he keeps it up. It's great.
Well, you never know with Melbourne. Anything can happen. But we now having the round 15 bit of a review and kicking off on Friday night was the Demons taking on Sydney. Unfortunately, Cam didn't have the best of nights, but a couple of the Melbourne players did. And kicking off with Michael Hibbard, we actually had doubts about him at the start of the year here on the Draft Doctors, but he's been really solid in both formats. Again, went 110 both formats. Really solid there, down back. Tommy Mack, just both ends of the ground. He's all-rounder, all-Australian forward, we think. Who knows how these guys think, but got you 97 in Dream Team, 117 Super Coach. Maxi Gawn was solid. It's been a bit of a trend this year. We've seen players coming back from injuries. Their first game, they score really well and then slightly take it down a notch in their second game, but still got you a nice score in Supercoach with a 96, but only the 81 in Dream Team. And as we said in the waiver wire pickups, Oscar McDonald, 81 and 98 in Supercoach as a defender. I'll be taking that to the bank every day of the week. So pretty happy with the Melbourne players there.
And for the Sydney Swans, we talked about this man looking fantastic over the past 3 or 4 weeks, and he finally put the score on the board, and that was Lukey Parker. He was just superb on Friday night and a major impact on the game as well. Kieran Jack, good to see him back in form as well. And I think that's been a really slow build. He had to have a few extra weeks off. And I think we're starting to see why Sydney Swans were struggling early. It's taken this long for Parker to hit his form. Kieran Jack obviously started the season injured. And we had JPK with a limited pre-season as well. And obviously, Hannes is nursing an injury right now. So they had so many out, and Isaac Heaney was missing as well. Jared McVeigh was missing. So that's why they were struggling at the beginning of the season. But great game by Parker and Jack. Newman, he should be staying in this side now. I hope he is. For all those that have picked him up off the waiver wire, 116 was fantastic. Hewitt, underrated forward. I think his scores are up and down. He's averaging mid-70s, but 113 this week. And Buddy, wouldn't he be scoring huge if he could learn how to kick straight? Incredible amount of shots he's been having a goal in recent times. Great impact on the game. Interesting to see whether his incident is looked at the MRP. I think he should be right, but he certainly lives on the edge. Does Buddy Franklin, 109. Speaking about living on the edge, he just come back from a 1 week suspension, and Zach Jones will be up at the MRP again. Of course, part of all my defensive units. So along with all the injuries and other suspensions through there, I'm quite cheerful about it, but played a magnificent game for 106. Let's hope he just gets a fine for that one. Or not decent enough contact. JPK was good form again, but should have scored a lot higher than the ton, gentlemen. Big score earlier on, it was looking like, but just faded a bit at the end of the game, which is a bit unlike JPK. Tom Papley's been a great pickup from the waiver wire. I think he was only drafted by about 1%. He's been averaging in the 90s over the past 4 or 5 weeks, 97 for him. Bit of a quieter game for Lloyd, junked up a little bit to get up to 96. McVeigh was back to his good form with 96 as well. The poster boy in my bedroom, Isaac Heaney, performed well, but got a fair bit of attention too. If you looked at the game, Bernie Vince actually spent a fair bit of time. So that's the first time he's got a lot of pressure in one game. And Dan Hamm was disappointing with his 51. But I reckon Dan Hamm's got some sore ribs, gentlemen, that he copped about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, interesting one there. 3 weeks, I can't remember who they played then, but yeah, he's been all right. It's just the way I think the Swans have been playing. But the next game was the Bulldogs taking on West Coast, and for three quarters, the Bulldogs were absolutely horrible and decided to turn up in the last quarter, but just falling short by 7 points. For the Doggies, Lachie Hunter, what the hell is going on? It's only taken you 14 weeks to start scoring well. It turned up 2 weeks in a row now, so he might actually be playable. So who knows what the hell Luke Beveridge is doing. He certainly doesn't know what a tagger is. Andrew Gaff, wink, wink. Tommy Campbell, we have spoken about him on the show. If you're looking for a ruckman as well, other than Sean Darcy, last 2 weeks since he's been back in the team, scored you quite well as well, got you the 86 in Dream Team. 101 super coach. Goal kicking needs a little bit of work, but he'll get there. But ruckman aren't renowned for that. Shane Biggs got you the ton in super coach, not so much in your dream team format. I don't know how he got 100 in super coach. I thought he actually butchered the ball, but when I had a look, he was 92% efficient. So just quite weird.
Just on Biggs, do you think it's actually worth throwing out a little trade offer for him? Now that it seems intent that the opposition is going to shut down Johannesson, because we know Biggs can find the ball. Like, is this a good move?
Well, I think now that Matthew Boyd out as well, he's the next go-to guy in the defence. I mean, Bob Murphy was back, yeah, but I think they're going to look to Shane Biggs to be that next rebounding guy. Yeah, good call.
I just worry that he's going to be dropped in any given week.
Well, but it shouldn't cost you much, is all. Like, you know.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
And also, a fantasy star, Zane Cordy, also got you the ton in Supercoach this week. He's actually been scoring quite well the last couple of weeks. So if you need that defender, look out for Zane Cordy there. And some decent team scores in Dream Team from Jack Redpath kicking a few goals, Jack McRae and the Bont just getting underneath the ton. But it was all the West Coast Eagles.
Yes, and I was certainly cheering on my gaff man. Was magnificent scoring so well so early. Because you know if Gaffey's going to get a big score, he's quarter time, he's already got well and truly over the 30-40 scores. But 130 from him. Drew Petrie keeps on surprising with big scores. 110. We just got to see when these ruckmen are going to come back into the side. Two of them did really well for East Perth over the weekend. So, but I would say that the Petrie and Vardy are both seem to be playing their roles, gentlemen. I don't know whether Lysette's going to push them out.
No, it'd be very hard to, especially the way Petrie was going. He just wasn't. They're leaving the forward 50 for Darling and Carpini, who were doing quite well, and Petrie went in defence towards the end as well and just intercepting any loose kicks.
Yep, getting a great effect on the game. There's no doubts about that. Dom Sheed's loving the new role, and the more midfielders out, the better for him. He tunned up in Dream Team as well. Luke Shuey back to a bit of form. He's been struggling over the last couple of weeks and just a bit more attention and also missed a week. Jack Redden, who was a late pickup for me, gentlemen, picked him up Friday afternoon, Jack Redden, when I heard that another one of the midfielders was out.
Prittis.
I thought Prittis was out, so all of a sudden I knew he was going to get the opportunity in the guts, and he certainly delivered 94 he scored in AFL fantasy scoring. Be interesting to see what happens because I thought his role was quite good. Elliot Yeo continues to struggle a little bit, seeing they've had a bit of an imbalance. He just hasn't seemed to be able to score too well. And it's because he's not freed up to play that halfback role. When he's free in that defensive line, he can just rack them up. So I'll wait till the structure gets back into place for Elliot Yeo. But it might be an opportunity to put in a bit of a bid for him while the forecast is down a little bit, but still averaging well over 100. So I'm sure people might want to hold on to him, but he's certainly back to his up and down traits. And last but not least, your new recruit second week in, Steve, Sam Mitchell, doing pretty well for you, a couple of 60s.
Winners and grinners, mate.
Mate, you could have got that on the waiver wire, couldn't you?
I think I did, actually. I got Bastanac and I think I had Redden. All right, mate. All the haters hating at the top of the sitting at the top of the tree.
Well, to be fair to Steve, Mitchell was spending a lot of time on the bench with the blood rule, so did spend a lot of time on the bench.
Who did you trade out for Mitchell, though?
Tom McDonald.
Oh, yeah, okay.
About the same, isn't it?
I think he's the next Coleman medalist at this rate. Yeah, I don't know. Come on, Sam Mitchell, get it together, son. I need this premiership. It's...
No.
Cam Patterson, maybe? Who knows? Who keeps their sauce in the fridge, seriously?
Just the winners, Jono. Just good people.
Well, I was at a 30th last night, Steve, and some of my friends asked me how the pod was going. I said, you know, it's going well. We have discussions about where you keep the sauce and the fridge in the pantry. Consensus was in the pantry, so...
You're making that up.
I am not making it up. I can get my friend on the phone right now if you want me to. Yeah,
so there is two things you're making up in this. One, you have friends. I don't believe that. That's a lie right there. And two, we had a league get-together, and it was a great time, and sauce was in the fridge.
That's good. You don't need the commission there. That's fine.
No, we had a great time. Trades were getting done. Everyone was happy.
But the next game on Saturday afternoon was a gallant Carlton taking on the Crows. They pushed them all the way right to the end, and some pretty good scores from the Bluebaggers.
Yeah, I get the feeling Carlton fans are probably going to be sick of saying gallant in defeat. Because they probably could have won this game. They were in front in the last quarter. They had the momentum. But it's really nice to see the way they're building their team from defence. They do use the ball rather safely, which for fantasy is actually great because they take so many marks, just ridiculous amounts. I think 120 in this match. But it was the usual faces dominating the stat sheet for Carlton. Bryce Gibbs continuing on his massive season, 160 Dream Team, 142 Supercoach. He could be polling some Brownlow votes. Patrick Cripps starting to warm up in the second half after his slow start because of the limited preseason. The nice 114, 126 Supercoach, 19 contested possessions, if you don't mind. Sam Doherty continues on. Mark Murphy and Cruiser having nice matches as well. The Liam Jones resurgence continues in defence. My goodness, he's killing it. 92 Dream Team, 117 Supercoach. Sam Kerridge had the run with role on Sloan with Ed Curnow out. He got you 107 in both formats, 90% game time. And again, Charlie Curnow just looks an absolute player. Wouldn't surprise me if you got the Rising Star nom this week. And he's a great pickup for your keeper teams. 97 Dream Team and 83 Supercoach. He is going to be a star, and I'd be excited if I was a Blues fan.
Yep, no, good call there. And with the Crows, Brad Crouch with Rory Sloane getting tagged was fantastic. In your 131 Dream Team, 121 Supercoach with 10 tackles. Josh Jenkins, he's having a stellar month the last couple of weeks. Kicking goals, 13 tackles for the game for Josh Jenkins. Yeah, you're hearing that right, people. 13 tackles for Josh Jenkins with Tom Lynch out of that side with viral meningitis. That's an interesting number one there with Tom Lynch. Viral meningitis, it's not necessarily a one-week thing. He could be out for multiple weeks because it affects your memory. Your body is really sore because you've got to have a needle. It's about 6 to 8 inches long in your back. Yeah, I had a friend who had it, and it's horrible stuff. It knocked him out for 5 to 6 weeks. And so we hope good personality is okay and back playing footy really soon. Brody Smith. There must have been something wrong with the MCG on Saturday. I'm reading these scores wrong because he turned up in both formats. Rory Laird, was he playing? I don't know, but gee whiz. Brody Smith did well. Matty Crouch also did fantastic. Got you the 132 in Supercoach, 100 in Dream Team. And Greenwood, he's second or third game. He's producing some nice scores. If you've picked him up, certainly be picking up if he's available in your keeper league, because this kid's going to be a star, I reckon.
Yeah, just on just on Tom Lynch and Sloan, I mean, you're a Tom Lynch owner. Trying to earn a league of record. You seem to know a bit about this illness. I mean, what would it take to prize you off him? I mean, would you take a low ball offer? What sort of offer would you be looking for to trade him out? And would you, I guess, with fantasy finals coming up?
Well, because it was diagnosed so late, I'd probably wait till the teams were out Tuesday. If it is a medium term and got an offer, then yeah, I'd certainly have to consider it because we know he is a pretty good fantasy scorer, good personality, but we are approaching those fantasy finals, but don't know if you can carry him, especially if you are carrying injuries like I am in my team.
Yeah, so, and what about Rory Sloan? What would you do there?
I'd be looking to sell him. I have the term gut feeling. I got rid of Nat Fyfe in our Nat Fyfe was my pick one in our league of record and traded him out a couple of weeks ago and for Dusty Martin, and that seems to be working well. If I was a Rory Sloan,
well, yeah,
that's 50-50. That's still in my favorites. One good score, two bad scores, but.
So yeah, I mean, what Nank and
yeah, it's still during that one. But if I was a Sloan owner, I'd be looking to sell, or I'd be looking to buy for sure.
What sort of deal do you think you'd get done?
Okay, here's something. Would you take a Joel Selwood, who with that concussion history hanging over the head, we know?
Yeah, maybe. That's a tough one.
No, I'm just saying, would you put Joel Selwood for Rory Sloan? Because we know with concussions, they're a bit harder to come back from, where, as a tag, if their teammates decided to help him, then you can get off the chain a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really tough. I mean, I might take Selwood. There's one thing holding me back.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just that round 22 matchup for Joel Selwood.
I have not.
It's Collingwood. And that's a tag.
In the first quarter. Okay.
No, you get 70s against Collingwood. Levi Greenwood just...
Yeah.
Last 2 years, bad matchups.
Levi Greenwood, yeah. There you go.
So, I don't know. That's tough.
Interesting. But the Twilight game, in Gaz's 300th game, they got the job done for him. Handsome Tom, back to form, kicking 5 snagaroonies. It was all Gold Coast Suns.
Magnificent performance by the Gold Coast. Well, maybe it was a magnificent performance, or maybe their opposition wasn't fantastic. Some bloke I can't pronounce, number 25, did all right. He got 133. We won't talk about him anymore. Gary Ablett, and they did everything in their power to make sure for his 300th game he kicked a goal, but it just wouldn't happen for him. Got plenty of the footy, 127 he scored. Jack Martin was in magnificent form with 117. He may have been injured late in that game. Would that be correct, Jack Martin?
Didn't see any of it, so I couldn't tell you.
Going back in my memory bank. And, of course, Hampson, Tom Lynch, magnificent game. He's been struggling for probably about a month, but really hit some form, kicking 5 goals, 117 he scored. Farini also did very well with his 112. Certainly was getting a lot of the ball early in the match, had a quiet period, and in the last quarter he seemed to pile it on again. Dave Swallow just looked in magnificent form, gentlemen, attacking the ball hard and getting plenty of it, and a major influence on the game. That's probably the most important game I've seen David Swallow play for a long, long time. It was great to see him in such form, and actually tackled his brother, got a hold on the ball and kicked a goal, which was a magnificent, desperate act. And I'm sure that would have, wouldn't have happened in the backyard before, would have been the older one tackling the younger one. But, yeah, played a magnificent game, David Swallow. Been hearing that his knees aren't fantastic and they'll probably never recover, but certainly that was a game that should put a lot of promise into those that are holding him in keeper leagues. Jared Witts was in great form as well, continuing his good scoring. No doubt the late Ruckman of the year, 96 from him. And Jared Harbrow played a decent game, seemed to be involved a lot, but just wasn't racking up the scores, gentlemen. 80-8 he finished with. Really looked like the type of game where he should have got a ton.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Gaz on fire. You reckon he could win the Brownlow this year?
Don't say that, because You Suck Show would not be good if he wins the Brownlow, and I said don't draft him.
That's why we're adding more fuel to the fire on that one.
No, I think he might be behind a couple, including Danger.
Danger and Dusty going head-to-head, do you think?
Yeah, I think so at the moment.
And to our first Saturday night game, we had our first draw for the year with Gold Coast.
Did you want me to talk about North?
No.
But why not? Give us a little bit, Steve.
Jared Waite got injured.
Yeah. Wasn't much to talk about.
No, look, it was a funny old game. They were getting beaten pillar to post. And to be honest, they actually got some fair bit of junk time to the point where it was a little bit interesting with a couple goals down with a few minutes left. But for me, there's still a fade in matchups from a fantasy perspective.
For sure.
So I think it sort of minted the form of Western Bulldogs, actually, to a degree, the matches this week and the match last week, because I think they're a fade as well. But anyway, Waite went full Waite, man, playing well, scoring well. 111 Dream Team, 118 Supercoach. Jared Waite, when he's on, he's...
He didn't get reported, though.
Oh, no. That would have been the trifecta.
Yeah.
No, but when he's on, he's on. But he got an injury, and we'll see. Have to see how that pans out. Goldie probably split the points with Jared Witts. He got you 8,900. Not really returning a high-round draft pick value, Goldie. And you got to wonder about Proust, especially if Waite's going to miss some time, what that setup looks like. Luke McDonald continues his ripping form, 31 disposals, got you 106 Dream Team, 97 Supercoach. It was really interesting. Some of that, I guess, and probably a good match for Aaron Mullett with Marley Williams being a late withdrawal, and Jamie McMillan only playing 56% game time. That was quite bizarre. I know Ben Ains would kick some goals on him, so maybe that was a message. I'm not sure. Andrew Swallow proved to be the good fill-in that we thought he'd be. He didn't kill you. He certainly got around the ball a bit. But they just got absolutely destroyed in the clearances, North Melbourne, without Ben Cunnington. I think it was minus 20 or something. They were down, so crazy. Jack Zeeble really down. Higgins down, although he tried with 9 tackles. And Aaron Mullett had a little interesting game. His 70s, but he's someone I'm keeping an eye on, maybe as a sleeper for next season.
And I think it's good they're starting to introduce the younger players, but I hope they don't just chop and change and drop them straight away. I actually want them to give them a few games on the trot, and I think Mountford is the classic example. If you let them build the confidence, they start to reward you. And Mountford had a great game on the weekend. It was actually one of their important link players. And I think 90 points in AFL fantasy scoring, which shows you he was really engaged and involved in the game. And that's all of a sudden because it was his fourth game on the trot. So you need to give these kids the opportunity. Wagner come in for his second game this year, only played about 50, 60% of game time. But let him go. He got some opportunities. Yes, he missed a couple of shots at goal, but they weren't by too much. He could have had 2 goals on the board for him. So I think you just got to back him in. He's got some toe. He's got some skill. He's got some ability. Let him play. And Mitch Hibbard's exactly the same. He just seemed to get a bit more involved in the game. It's his second game for the year. Like Wagner, played 1 game, was out. Probably fair enough because they were in finals calculations round 1. Everyone is. And it wasn't working out. Well, now they're not. Got to give the kids a game.
Moving on to the first game on Saturday night. It was our first draw for the year. It was GWS taking on Geelong. And Paddy Dangerfield got to be right up there with Dusty Martin leading for the Brownlow. Got you 142 Supercoach. 142 Dream Team, 196 Supercoach, with 96 of those coming in the last quarter. Absolutely destroyed it to get the Cats on par. Sam Menegola with Joel Selwood as that laid out. He was the man to take the points bump and certainly got that with 113 Dream Team, 130 in Supercoach. And then you also got some nice scores from Harry Taylor, as we mentioned before, as a waiver wire pickup. Mark Blixarves, Mitch Duncan as well, also scored quite well for you. But the GWS, did they try to lose it? I didn't see too much of the game, so not too sure how it was played.
No, it was just, there was a lot of stars out for this game. It was, I don't know, pressure, scrappy, but a lot of people out, so we wouldn't, go taking this game as gospel. Obviously, Toby Green laid out as well. So that was, caused a bit of controversy on Friday on the Twitter. But it's interesting with all these players going out that there's a bit of a gap between the top and the bottom in terms of talent. And the top end are actually starting to score higher numbers as opposed to these really even scores we were seeing for GWS. So Callum Ward's absolutely brained of late, these guys going out. 119 Dream Team, 132 Supercoach. Lucky Whitfield kicked an amazing goal in the last quarter on his left. Got you 123 Dream Team, 130 Supercoach. Certainly like him in a keeper. Nick Haynes shook off the rust last week, got you tons this week. Josh Kelly continues to find the ball at will, 93 Dream Team, 108 Supercoach. Nathan Wilson took the reins off half back with Zach Williams being out and Heath Shaw being terrible. 110 Dream Team and 104 Supercoach. Johnny Patton was absolutely enormous with 4 snags, got you a great score, backing up his form from last week. Heath Shaw battled. That's all you can say. To mid-80s, that's just kind of where he's at, man. He can't hit the side of a barn with his kicking anymore. And there was a few guys down, namely Jeremy Cameron and Devin Smith, but at least Devin didn't get injured, Statesman.
Still outscored Motlop.
I actually saw Motlop at one point too. It's crazy.
Was he getting a hamburger from the pub?
Yeah, settle down.
But over to Steve's favourite place in the world, South Australia. Who would have thought the Tigers would have upset the Port Adelaide on their home deck? Be a huge win for the Tigers.
Me, I did. I had them in the top 8 at the start of the year. Only one who did.
There you go.
Yeah, but the Tigers, they hung in there all game. Some of it was Port's fault, some of it was Richmond's good defence. And then they wrestled control back in the third and then owned the last quarter and got themselves a damn good road win. I'm sure the Tigers fans would be up and about, but it was a bit of a scrappy game. Bit dewy on the ground, but Dustin Martin, what a machine he is. 36 touches and a goal. Great goal in the last quarter. 131 Dream Team, 121 Supercoach. Probably a first-round pick next year, you'd imagine, in your drafts, maybe. Kane Lambert continues his fantastic form. Genuine midfielder option for the Tigers. 33 touches, 10 tackles if you don't mind. 147 Dream Team, 119 Supercoach.
Certainly would be.
Yep. Rance had an interesting game. 83 Dream Team, which is okay for him. 113 Supercoach, because he's just a machine. But they tried defensive forward on him in Jackson Trengove, but still found a way to get some good scores, even though they cupped a kick or goal. Kicked a couple goals on him. Big deal. He did the job. Toby Nankervis got back to some form, getting around the ground. So that was good for owners who have stuck fat with the Nank. And Brandon Ellis, man, he just continues his resurgence in form across half-back. No Hooley, but 107 Dream Team, 99 Supercoach. Koch got some attention, so he's a little bit down. Prestia is just horrendous. And Jaden Short's a little bit of an interesting one to keep an eye on with Hooley out. He's got some chops getting the ball across half-back.
Isn't it what?
But there was another team out there as well, and that was the Port Adelaide Power. I thought I was watching, actually, Collingwood, because they were just so inefficient going inside 50 and trying to convert. It was very unusual. The Chad was huge, though. His midfield experiment continues to work. And if he keeps it up and somehow retains forward status next year, he is going to be a very early pick in your drafts. 39 disposals, 17 contested possessions, if you don't mind. 10 clearances on his way to 141 Dream Team, 109 Supercoach. Paddy Ryder was big, did well around the grounds, ending the hitouts. 119 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach. Justin Weftos continued to float around the ground and just rack up some fantasy numbers. Sam Gray was good. Ollie Wines had a big night with his ton in Dream Team. 17 contested balls, 10 clearances, but turned it over quite a bit, especially by hand, so he only got the 80 in Supercoach. Hamish Hartlett got a massive corky and sat quite a lot of the game, only had 48% time on ground, so that's why his score was down. Ebert's second half fade out for the season continues. What does this man do at the halfway point? We'll never know, but whatever it is, he forgets to play football. And Robbie Gray was just beaten a little bit, had a bad score, 59 Dream Team, 45 Supercoach. One goal, three. For a very skillful player, he often misses some pretty simple shots in front of goal, I've noticed this year, so very interesting there.
But, Steve, the results are in, and you got up by 18 in the league of record, mate.
Oh, thank goodness. That was tough. I wouldn't want to lose that one.
Yeah, so you would have lost by two.
Oh.
But moving on to the Sunday games, who would have thought this? I certainly didn't. I had Essendon penciled in for a massive win, but Brisbane came out to play and got the chocolates by 8 points.
Yeah, remarkable. I will say that I spent a fair bit of time in meetings today, actually trying to find a replacement for the majority of players, both on these lists, actually. And by the sound of the information I was getting, it was one of those games where it just didn't seem to be going anywhere. And I will say, for those Zach Merritt owners, there was a lot of talk that this was the day he could crack the 200. I mean, going up against Brisbane, someone that runs so well. But no. Nowhere near it today, and also limited time on the ground. So the question mark's got to be, is Zach just a bit crook, or is Zach carrying an injury? But for Essendon, Watson continues up and down form. He was very much up today, 125. Goddard, well-tempered today, we hear. Is that correct, or is that just vicious rumours?
Just rumours.
Just rumours.
Don't let the truth get in the way of good yarn.
Tunned up, but tunned up early in the last quarter and only finish up with 102. So I don't know what happened with him at the end of the game. Hurley continues great form with 94. Heppel again seems to be struggling a little bit at the moment, only the 81. McGrath, if you haven't got him in a keeper, find a way to get him. 79, but he's going to be an absolute jet, that boy. And as I talked about, Merritt struggled with 78. For the victors, it was Dane Zorko without a tag. The boy can find the footy, gentlemen. You must have been happy, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I'm Captain Sunshines, mate. That's what they call me.
Yeah. I think he only had 7 possessions last week when he had a tag. Same Mays who we talked about, waiver wire option early in the season, continues to score well, now averaging in the 80s. He had 108. Tommy Cutler, another one we talked about in the waiver wire early in the season, 106. Bastanac, which is playing in your midfield, you dropped Sam Mitchell to bring in Bastanac and scored you a ton. Witherington, we talked about before, 96. Tommy Rockliffe, only a 90. I think that shoulder's certainly still just holding him back from more of the contested footy and the tackles. So I think, you know, I think he'll still score well, but what he hasn't got for the time being until that shoulder is 100% right is that ceiling, that massive ceiling that we know he has. Louis Taylor's continues to perform well. High 70s average, pumped you out of 90. Daniel Rich is certainly performing better in the second half of the season than he did the first with his 88. And 2 of the waiver wire pickup options under 65%. Robertson and Matheson both performed well again with an 84 and a 78 respectively. Certainly Brisbane will celebrate this victory. It probably takes Essendon out for all their finals calculations, but a good win for Brisbane, and they should get some rewards from that. And another one of the young players, Hipwood, performed well and scored a few goals. Another one you should look out for in your keeper leagues. That's Buddy 2.0.
Ooh, big call right there. Hopefully it pays off. But the next game was Hawthorn taking on Collingwood with Bucks coaching for his career. He dropped a few players because other players were in front of him, apparently. But it didn't seem to work out. But the Hawks, too good yet again. Tommy Mitchell absolutely killing it. 88% time on ground. We called it at the start of the year. He's moved from Hawthorn, from Sydney, sorry. He was getting about that 80% game time. That's now right up there. And the scores are showing up with 135, Dream Team 128, Supercoach. He's got the pig status and clearly shows from the scores we've seen this year. Dan Howe, someone who I like in the keeper league. I do have him in the keeper league. He scored you 116, Dream Team 107, Supercoach. Unfortunately, as he is a defender mid, I had him as mid coverage and I had a defender out, so no scores for me there.
Sorry, Jono, but I just need to... You just mentioned something before about Buckley's career. I just had a quick look at the definition of career just to clarify. This is what it states, so maybe you should reword it, because it says an occupation undertaking for a significant period of a person's life and with opportunities for progress.
Is 5 years significant time?
Where's the progress?
That's the big asterisk next to his name right there. No progress, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I think they'll give him one more year, to be honest, because he's got his team ripe. He's got rid of all those mischievous players.
Honestly, I seriously think that they're only 2 players away from being a finals team.
Yeah, I think if they've got a quality forward and another bookend, they'll be pretty good.
Absolutely. And Sam Reed could be a really good option for them.
Yep, I agree. With the Hawks, mentioned him in the late week pickups was James Sicily. Again, got you the ton in Dream Team, scored you nicely in Supercoach with an 87. 25 possessions, 11 marks, and a goal. So pretty handy there for Sicily. He's taken 20 marks in 2 weeks. So get on board if he's still available. Luke Hodge got you the ton in Dream Team, playing some pretty good football as a defender this year. Luke Bruce, as Steve mentioned, got you a ton in both formats this week with 2 goals. Shawnee Burgoyne in the guts 2 weeks in a row, scoring quite well. Got you in the 94 Dream Team, 113 Supercoach. Ryan Burton, just under the ton in both formats, scoring quite well. Went off late in that fourth quarter with that ankle injury, so hopefully it's only something minor. It's only for a week for him. And he got some pretty good Dream Team scores from Lucky Henderson, Jack Gunson, and Taylor Geraint. But the Collingwood did try the best.
Well, try as they might, they just weren't good enough. The sloppy ball use, and it's a real problem. I don't know what they got. They got no skill up forward aside from Jamie Elliott. They just weren't up to it today. They tried to take the game on, but not good enough. Anyway, one player who was really good and actually did use the ball quite well and was pretty damaging was John DeGoey, basically playing pure midfield. And he was fantastic. Got 109 Dream Team, 115 Supercoach. Certainly turned things around from his slow start to the year with the dog fight, whatever the hell that was. Brody Grundy just keeps on keeping on. Got 95 Dream Team, 105 Supercoach. Adam Treloar didn't really feel particularly influential for mine, but he helped his score late with a goal. Got 98 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. Alex Vassolo, 3 goals. Got you a nice ton there, so good on him. There was a few okay tons in there for Dream Team, but not a lot for Supercoach. And I think that just comes down to their poor ball use.
Dog 80 homework.
They're just sloppy. Taylor Adams, how about this? 95 Dream Team, 64 Supercoach on the back of 11 clangers. Jeremy Howe had a forward tag on him from Duray, and Duray kicked some goals. Could have had 3 and only had 2, but that was interesting. Josh Thomas made a nice okay return. Did fade out late, but got 80 and 77 super coach to go with it. So long season ahead, and no doubt the pressure will be right on Nathan Buckley. But at least we'll get a top 5 pick this year.
But the last game of the round, if you had this team in your multi, would have screwed you yet again. Fremantle, I had Frio, Essendon, Port, and GWS all in my multi this week. So you can blame me if you had them in as well. But it was the Saints who got the chocolates over in Perth. And the last time they won there, Ross Lyon was actually coaching the Saints. So it's been a long time between drinks for the Saints over there. Jack Steele back in the side this week for Blake Akers. Got you a nice 119 Dream Team, 106 Supercoach. Just a lazy 17 tackles. Gee, I wonder if they've been missing them the last couple of weeks. Sab Ross back to a bit of form this week, getting you about 109 in both formats with the 34 possessions. Kobe Stevens had a bit of a run with role at times. Got you 106 in both formats. Jack Billings is having a good year. Tunned up in Dream Team, not so much in your super coach. And Jack Nunes as well, also having a pretty good year. Got you 121 in super coach if you manage to snaffle him off the free agency there, but only the 88 in Dream Team.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry. But I will say that Fremantle, I think, are playing magnificent footy. And playing magnificent footy with a pretty young list. And that's what's impressing me. We were just talking about what North Melbourne should be actually doing. Would you believe it? Ross, the boss, is actually rebuilding well, which we sort of question whether you're capable of doing it. But the kids have been impressive. Walters top scored with 145, and we know Walters can sort of be like that. His season average is 78, so he could be up and down like a yo-yo. But Ethan Hughes played a role on the half-back line that was just magnificent, 137. So that's great for him. That should sort of kickstart his career. We know Brad Hill's been a different player for Frio, 121. So he's scoring really well, and he's part of that elite group for your forward line. Lockie Neal, finally back to form, but still only 100 minutes game time. So well below most of the other midfielders. 117 was his score. Dave Mundy, 114. The young ruckman, Darcy, looks something special, gentlemen, 114. So, look, to be quite honest with you, if they need to manage his body and give him a break every now and again, but he should be playing, even if Sandy Lands gets a game when he comes, if he comes back, you just play Darcy. You do what you did with Sandy Lands with Darcy, which is give him game time, let him build up. And the word is in the broadcast that the broadcast of the game, that they were talking about just an 8-week period from an opposition seeing him round 1 to round 9 in the waffle, that there was just this world of difference with this young kid. So he's dedicated too. So great draft, but also great fantasy player is coming our way. 114 as a ruckman, magnificent. Billy Longer should probably go and have a break and bring in the number one ruckman, Tom Mickey, like I picked 2 weeks ago too. Lee Spur did great with 111. Johnson was good, 95. Nat Fyfe actually looked good, gentlemen. Didn't get as much of the footy as he probably needed to, but he actually looked like he had the bounce back and played 125 minutes. So that's a really good sign for Nat Fyfe. So expect his scores to start heading in the right direction very soon. But really impressed with the kids, really impressed with the balance that they've got of kids and the experience. And that's how you rebuild. And I think you'll find Freo is going to turn the corner a lot quicker than what most people were thinking. They're still only 2 games out of the finals contention. I probably, with the group that they've got, they probably don't want to be there this year. They actually want to get another couple of good players in, but they're going to be bouncing back pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, especially like, as you said, Sean Darcy, he's going to be a quality player. And Brad Hill's just added that awesome run to that side as well. He's been a fantastic player. I'm sad I dropped him in our league of record after one match.
Ooh.
All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Cam Pedersen for giving up your time and coming onto the show. We really appreciate it. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got the articles dropping each week. And check out the Facebook page. Just search The Draft Doctors in there and you'll find us. Good luck in your matchups next week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.